Good morning. It's good to be able to come together and worship God. I appreciate Seth leading us in our singing. That's very encouraging. And the lyrics, the words to those songs encourage us and uplift us. And that's what singing is supposed to do. And I'm encouraged to sit and hear voices around me. And I think about our upcoming study of Revelation, how that one day we can be around the throne of God singing praises for all eternity. And so this is just simply a foretaste of that. And it's encouraging to be here this morning. In the small town of Springfield through the years, as I would go out into the community and just do business with people, just different errands you have to run and do business with people, from time to time you get into a conversation and you run into the same people over and over again. And invariably, the discussion turns to, well, what do you do? And I say, well, I'm a preacher, and I talk about that kind of thing. And they want to know where, and we start talking about that. A lot of times, in a little old small town, you'll hear somebody say, well, you know, the Church of Christ, they're the ones who really know their Bible. And I take that as a compliment. You know, what they're talking about is they've heard, maybe they've never visited a service, but they've heard that we know our Bible. They've heard that the preaching is Bible-based. They've heard about the emphasis on Bible classes and things like that. And so I hear that from time to time. Another thing that comes to my mind along the lines of Bible classes is that when I was a child, I was influenced greatly by different Bible class teachers, ladies and men, different times in my life. And I can look back, and those of us who are older here this morning, you can probably look back and pick out a Bible class teacher that really influenced you. Think in your mind about someone that you maybe even remember their class or their study or their particular material that they had. And you think back and you're like, wow, that person really influenced me as much as maybe my parents in many kinds of ways. And my father was a gospel preacher and still is preaching at 92. He just called me the other day and said that he had found another small Spanish congregation to preach at nearby, and he was excited about that at 92. And obviously, I heard a lot of his sermons growing up, but I also had Bible class teachers that influenced me greatly. And so we see the importance of good Bible classes. This evening, we're going to do something a little bit different here at the congregation. We're going to change our service just a little bit, and we're going to allow for Jeff and Daniel and Phil to talk with us about our Bible class program. And so this evening's format will be a little bit different. Surprisingly enough, I'm going to speak for about 5 minutes, if that's possible. We'll see if I can do that. But I'm going to have a shorter invitation, and then we're going to have a congregational meeting where these men talk with us about some things involving our Bible classes. And so this morning, I want us to tie in some of those things with what I have to say this morning to set the stage for what we're looking at this evening. And I'm excited about that. You may recall last year, August of 2016, when I came and we came that weekend and I preached, and there was a congregational meeting in the afternoon, and different questions were asked of me and so forth. And one of the questions that was brought up was the matter of the teaching program here at Warfield Boulevard, and what can we do to improve, and what can we do to move forward and grow. And so I was asked about that, and could I help along those lines, and we talked about that. Then earlier this year, Jeff and Phil and Daniel approached the elders about the same thing, and they asked me if I would sit in. And so there have been some sessions and some Sunday afternoon meetings all throughout the previous part of this year in gearing up for this evening. And they asked me to sit in and give input as well. And so we looked at some things. And then last Sunday evening, we met with the elders and all of the deacons, and these things that they're going to be bringing to you this evening, they shared those things with them last Sunday evening. And then I guess you could say we've been given the green light, as it were, by Clarence and Bob to present those things to the church. And so we're looking forward to that this evening. And this morning, to help us set the stage for that, I wanted to talk about better Bible classes. And I hope that this will help us to get ready for this evening. You know, just before we talk about our Bible classes, you think about the age of information that we're in. On our phones, how readily and quickly we can get things, on the internet and many other kinds of things. We're bombarded by information, worldly information. Not all of it's bad, but just secular worldly information. And especially our young people are just constantly bombarded by all different kinds of information from different places. We actually compete with that. When we have a Bible class and we're disseminating information, we're giving information, we're competing with all that other information that's out there. And if you stop and think about it, our information is the most important. It has to do with God's Word. It has to do with getting to heaven. And we have to have the best environment for that. Even public schools, we have school teachers here, they know that they have to constantly look at areas of improvement and betterment because it's a growing and improving phenomenon. And so we compete with information, whether it's the news, the weather, the sports, bad things, good things. And so when we look at our Bible classes, we want to be presenting the best that we can on any given Sunday morning or any given Wednesday night. We know that that is out there and that is a phenomenon that is there. Turn with me to John chapter 6 and verse 45. John 6, 45. God always draws His people through teaching. It's never in any other way. And so the teaching program has to be the best that it can be. And that includes me as a teacher from this pulpit. I believe I mentioned to you some time ago where John Gentry, who's going to be holding our spring meeting, and I believe he's going to be preaching for us on December the 10th. John Gentry and I met recently on some matters involving getting ready for the program, that radio program that I'm working to get ready for. And he shared with me some information about public speaking, especially in a short format. And I actually went back in one of those classrooms and I sat down. I was a student. John was teaching me on how that I can improve. And I've been doing this 33 years. But I can improve. I need to improve. We can do something for a long time, but that doesn't mean we can't improve. I've been doing it a long time. But I learned something that day. He taught me some things. And so we've done things for a long time. We're good at it. We're doing very well at it. But there's always room for improvement in the teaching area. And I'm glad that he shared some of those things with me. I learned some things that day that I was not familiar with, that he was more up on in that particular matter. In John chapter 6 and verse 45, let's just remember a basic principle, and that is that when God draws people to Him to be His children and His family and to be saved, it is written in the prophets. Look at this. This is not just a New Testament phenomenon. It is written in the prophets. And then he quotes from the book of Isaiah. Everyone that hath heard from the Father and hath learned cometh of me. But look at right before that. And they shall all be taught of God. That's how God brings us. And that's something that even goes back to the Old Testament. The teaching of God's Word is how He brings people to Himself. And so Christianity is a taught religion. It is not something that is fought. It is not something where we take out a sword and a gun and hold someone at gunpoint and make them convert to Christianity. It's not something that is done that way. There are other religions today that are doing that very thing, and that's not what God wants. Neither is it something that you buy. It's not something you catch. The United Methodist Church, sometimes on their signs and on their church buildings, there'll be a cross and a flame, and it will say, "Catch the Spirit." And what they mean by that is that you just need to kind of open up and just catch it. Let Him come in. We don't catch the Spirit like you're catching a cold, like it's just something accidental that pops up in your life. Christianity is that which is taught. Everyone will be taught of God. And so teaching must be at its excellence. You know, when we talk about better Bible classes, and when I talk about better Bible classes this morning, I want to be very clear that I'm not using the word better in the sense that nothing's currently being done. There's some great teachers here. There are great Bible classes here. There is a great use of God's Word in all of our classes. So when I use the word better this morning, I'm not implying that things have not been done right in the past. There has been an emphasis on good Bible classes all throughout the history of this congregation. And I think about especially the VBS. When we were in Springfield, we would bring the children over to the VBS. I've had some bad experiences with some VBSs, and one in the Middle Tennessee area, and it really discouraged me. But it was never Warfield. We always wanted to bring our children here because I knew that they would be getting good classes that week. There have been great teachers, and there are great teachers in classes currently. I mean better in this sense. Can we improve our time that we're using in preparing our lesson as a teacher and as a student? Can we have an organization and a plan with regard to subjects that we're going to look at throughout the year, and an organization and a plan to have a rotation of teachers? Getting more teachers to volunteer. We've even had some brethren place membership and move in since we've been here. And I know that there is talent there. There's a pool that we can draw from even among our new members. I remember Jeff asking the question in that congregational meeting, can you help us with our teaching program and getting more people to volunteer and that type of thing? And we'll be talking about that this evening. And just a general congregational attitude of improvement. If we will approach anything in our life with a general attitude of improvement, then we can be united and we can work together and we can have great Bible classes. This morning I want to look at four areas of this matter. The planning, the Bible materials that we use, the teachers and the scheduling of them and that type of thing, our students, and just general congregational support from our elders, from our deacons, from our parents, from all of us, where we support each other and we are unified. I appreciate our military brethren. I appreciate those who are currently serving and those who have served in the past and those who will serve in the future. And I enjoy talking with my military brethren about their jobs. I find that those jobs are fascinating. And sometimes I'll be talking with a brother or sister and they'll tell me, well, I'm in a support unit. And that is extremely critical. And that's extremely important. Are they out on the front line? No. But they're the support unit. You have to have that. And so to have good Bible classes for ourselves and for our children, we all have to be the support unit. And we might be in the background lending our support and help as a parent, as an elder, as a deacon, as a student to those who are teaching in a given quarter. So support is very important. I'm going to begin this morning with planning. In Acts chapter 20, if you'll turn with me there, Paul talked about preaching the whole counsel of God. And in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, Paul talked about how that the things written aforetime, the Old Testament, are written for our learning. We want a good, balanced diet. And this congregation in the past has been doing a Bible survey. And the great thing about that is that it teaches us all of God's Word. I remember as a child, there were times when I would be in different congregations where you could tell that it's almost like they started in Matthew and they went through the New Testament. They really would hang out in Acts a lot. And they would get down to the little book of Jude and they would turn around. We don't dare enter into the door of Revelation. So we turn around and when we go back to Matthew. And it seemed like a lot of times there were brethren who didn't know much about the Old Testament, for example. And so the Bible survey that has been taking place here for the past several years is great. And it teaches us the whole of God's Word, and we need to continue doing that. In addition to that, one thing that is going to be suggested this evening with regard to our planning is that which involves for our students and our adults, both textual and topical lessons. We'll continue looking at all of God's Word. We just won't do it in a compacted fashion of 3 to 4 years as has been done in the past. We'll spread that out more, but both textual and topical things, because we're just simply trying to have a balanced diet, just like in our own personal lives. I would love to eat sugar all day long. You know, I just can't do that. You know, So mom and dad, they would cram the vegetables in. We had to eat kale growing up. Had to eat kale. When Sherry and I married, I told her about that. She said, well, when we were growing, that was just a garnish. That's just something you put on a plate at a restaurant. I said, we actually had to eat that stuff. It wasn't a garnish. Mom and dad thought that was a balanced diet, eating all these different vegetables. And I enjoy vegetables. So we're going to be looking at a curriculum that has textual and topical things. Any diet, physical or spiritual, needs to be balanced. It needs to be all of God's Word, and it needs to be nutritious and healthy. In God's Word, we're told about sound or health, the sound or healthy gospel. There are different places in God's Word where we're told about the doctrine of Christ and growing as a babe. 2 Peter 2 and verse 1, we long for the spiritual milk of the Word like a newborn baby is hungry for that milk. And so it needs to be balanced. It needs to be that which is healthy, sound in its teaching. We want to bring people to God's Word. It needs to be age appropriate. You know, we don't put a... I love steak. Dave Musnick's heard about that early on and fed me a steak. But you don't give a steak to our grandson Beckett. You know, he's a few weeks old. He can't handle a steak. He needs milk. And so age appropriate, that which each age can digest. There are babes in Christ and there are those who are older. 1 Corinthians 11. It needs to be attractive in this sense. I don't mean colorful in the sense of something on a piece of paper, but turn with me to Psalm 19 and verse 10. God's Word needs to be that which is like honey in the honeycomb. It needs to be that which is attractive. We need to teach and learn in such a way that our young people want to come back, and even adults, we want to come back and learn more. I'm enjoying this. I'm digesting this. Remember, we're competing with otherworldly information outside of the church building that is attractive. Psalm 19 and verse 10, how is the Word of God described there? When we teach and preach and use curriculum, let us have that which brings people and attracts them to the Word of God. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the droppings of the honeycomb. And we sing that in our psalm book. So we're planning curriculum, in addition to the good curriculum that we've had before in surveying the Bible, we're planning that which is going to try to fit these types of things, and the other fit that as well. So we're not going to change that, but if we use curriculum other than the survey of the Bible, these are the goals that we're trying to shoot for. So first of all, I would suggest the matter of planning. There's going to be presented to us this evening curriculum that is purchased for all ages, from little children up to adults. And these are the types of things that we're wanting to meet when we look at that. Let's look at the second matter, that of teachers. And I appreciate the good teachers that are here and that we hope to get in the future and build and train. I want us to be conscious of the importance of our role as a teacher. It's not about me as a teacher. It's about what is best for the students. What is best for the whole of the congregation? In Acts chapter 13 and verse 1, there were teachers in the church at Antioch, but it was for the betterment of the whole group. So when we discuss these things this evening, let's ask ourselves, what is best for the children? What is best for the congregation as a whole? And how can we grow in that area and be conscious of that? And turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4 then. Along those lines, we're always wanting to be God-centered, God's Word-centered. And we want to spend time preparing. And preparation goes into classes. I've been down here numerous times, and teachers have been here preparing for their classes, and that's a great sign. We don't want something that is just sort of left over or haphazard or giving our young people the leftovers of our time. And so it's about preparation. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, till I come, give heed to reading, to exhortation, and to teaching. And while this may be public reading here, I believe this idea of give heed, reading, whether it's privately or publicly, that needs to consume our time. Look at verse 16. Take heed to thyself and to thy teaching. Look at that. Teaching can be something that we take heed to. Is there something that I can improve upon? Is there something that I can grow into and change? continue in these things, for in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. That's really the end result, the salvation of everyone here at this building. When we teach, we want to make time for the examination and the explanation and the application of God's Word. We're going to look at some Old Testament passages here in a minute. What I mean by that is, when we teach, we want to take time to examine the Word of God, reading the text, looking at the text, letting our young people hear that and see that. And then we want to take some time to explain the text. What does it mean? And then thirdly, before we leave, what does it mean for me today? How can I apply that for me today? Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Let's look at a few examples of this. As teachers, let's grow in the area of these three things. Taking time each class period to examine the text, to explain the text, and then to apply that for our personal lives. Notice that even in the Old Testament, we find these kinds of things. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 31 with me. Verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy 31, 12. Assemble the people, the men and the women and the little ones, just like our Bible classes today, and the sojourner that is within thy gates, the visitor, that they may hear and that they may learn. So hear, examining the text, hearing it, that they may learn. That's explaining the text. And fear Jehovah your God and observe to do all the words of this law. That's applying it in our lives. What's the result? Verse 13, that their children who have not known may hear and learn to fear as long as you live, whether you go. And so we want our children to hear God's word. We want them to learn God's word. We want them to apply God's word. Turn with me to Ezra chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7. Do you remember when Ezra went back to teach God's people after the Babylonian captivity? And he comes back and Zerubbabel emphasizes the rebuilding of the temple, and Ezra emphasizes the rebuilding of the people. And so we find in Ezra chapter 7 in verse 10, for Ezra had set his heart to seek the law of Jehovah and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and ordinances. He set his heart to seek the law of Jehovah. I want to read it and study it. I need to know it myself. And then to teach it and then to do it. Examination, explanation, and application. And then turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 8. We find that very thing. Look at Nehemiah chapter 8 with me. When God's people come together, they stay for a whole morning to learn the Word of God, like a class setting. They're going through all of the Word of God. Notice as they come together, verse 3, and he read therein before the broad place. So first of all, there is the reading and the hearing of the Word of God. Jump down to verse 8, and they read in the book of the law distinctly, literally, with an interpretation. They explained it, and they gave the sense. So examination, verse 3. Explanation, verse 8, so that they may understand the reading. And then you come on down to verse 17 and 18. And day by day, they read from the first until the last. He read from the book of the law, and they kept the feast 7 days. Here was the application. Go out and do it. So as teachers, we can make sure that we're stressing these things in our class. We're a teacher. We're not just simply a moderator or a referee. We're coming in for examining the text, explaining the text, and then applying it. And in our scripture reading that Christopher had this morning, that's how we pass on the Word of God to the next generation. Paul passed it on to Timothy. Timothy passed it on to faithful men and women, and then they were able to teach others also. We are in the room to instruct, to impart knowledge. We're not there just simply to keep order. We're not a referee. We're not just simply a timekeeper. But and I don't believe any of that's going on here. I know that the teaching and the instruction is going on. These are just simply reminders that that's our purpose and that's our goal. And when we have those things, we will grow. We're not going to simply stall for time or wing it or just simply try to pass some time. Our duty is to examine the text, explain the text, and then apply the text. Now, let's look at the area of students. We need to be conscious as a student of what we are learning. Turn with me to Acts chapter 17. We live in a very fast-paced world. We've got a lot of things going on in our lives. And Sherry and I, with the four children we've had, they've been in sports, they've been in clubs, they've been in other kinds of things. From time to time, we ourselves have been in extracurricular activities. And if we're not careful, brethren, we've got so much going on in our lives that the Word of God can get slowly crowded out. I think about the parable of the sower in Luke 8, where riches and cares and pleasures of this life just choke out the Word. We must always make time for the study and the reading of God's Word. Just like we want our teachers to prepare, as a student, I need to prepare before going on to that next lesson. In Acts 17 and verse 11, when Paul came, they searched the Scriptures. They searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Let's spend some time together learning God's Word sometime between Sunday and Wednesday. And again, sometime between Wednesday and Sunday, spending some time together with God's Word. We were just talking in the foyer a while ago, and Mark Lorbach made a great observation. We were talking about the high number of daily Bible readings in this morning's count, and he made a good observation. He said, well, you know, if we have to get our lesson and go over it in class, that might raise our people who are reading the Bible. And I said, well, that's a win-win situation. We're reading more because we know that we're using that more in class. And so that's what we want. We want to raise the level of time spent in God's Word. All of us have things we want to watch on TV and check on our phones and other kinds of things. And there's time and place for that. But make time to do God's Word together. And that will raise our level of knowledge and we'll be right with God. So as students, we can work on that. We can also work on, being involved in class. Have a class environment where there's the asking and answering of questions, the reading of the text, where there's an involvement. We get out of class what we put into it. And so if we're involved, if we're speaking, if we're being a part of it, our level of knowledge is simply going to go up, and even the retention of that knowledge is going to go up. Maybe you've seen this somewhere before. It's been used many places, and I believe it's true. That the more we do something in a classroom environment, or really anywhere, at home, at work, this is true anywhere in life, the more you're doing something, the greater you are going to remember that. If you just simply read something, you will probably retain about 10%. But it increases if you hear it, if you see it, and then if you are engaged in doing something with it, the percentage just simply goes up. So we want to foster an environment where there is more of this and not less of it. So the reading, the hearing, the speaking of it, the involvement in it, and our level of knowledge goes up and the retention of that knowledge goes up. So we're trying to encourage that in some of the things that we're looking at this evening. Now let's look at the last area. We've looked at planning in the curriculum. We've looked at teachers. We've looked at students. And I want to look now at the matter of support. In New Testament churches, there were teachers. And there are admonitions, for example, Hebrews chapter 5, when by reason of time you ought to be a teacher. What are some areas that we can support ourselves here at Warfield Boulevard? Well, first of all, let's set a good example. Can we strive toward being a teacher? If I'm currently teaching, can I continue to do that? And if I've taught in the past, can I volunteer to do that again? One area of support is to help out those who have been teaching by taking I'm going to take my turn in my place and help them out, give them a break. This is how we can encourage ourselves to grow personally. I'm not currently teaching, but I'd like to learn how and be added into the schedule. We're going to talk this evening about scheduling and the teachers needed to have a good rotation and a scheduling of that. I want to support that. That needs to be my attitude. So if I'm currently teaching, I'm going to keep doing that. If I haven't done that, I want to learn how to do that. If I've done it in the past and I haven't done it in a long time, I want to do that again. That's how we can support each other in that. And we can have a good rotation. Teachers, I've actually heard this in several congregations. When Sherry and I went to South Carolina, we hadn't been there very long in a congregation. And there were several who were teaching that said, we've been teaching forever. We need a break. It's common among the brotherhood, I think. And so we want to try to have a situation where we're scheduling regular rotations so that we can come out and have a break and learn. We can learn God's Word, and then we're ready to go back in later and teach again. But that takes support, brethren. You've heard that that old expression about where, you know, 90% of the work falls on 10% of the people. You've heard something like that? We don't want that to be the case. We want to be there and volunteer and help in what way that we can. So first of all, I would say support from the church in the matter of training and volunteering to teach. That would be great. And we're going to try to encourage that this evening. Another area might be, Phil is going to have that sheet that's been passed out before here where we sign up for classes that we would like to teach, the different age groups and so forth. And if we ask you, if we encourage you, if we come to you, let's support each other and say, yes, I'll do that. Take the time for the preparation and then have the curriculum and the resources to do that very thing. There has been good curriculum in the past. There's been good resources in the past. We're simply going to look at other things that we can do in those areas. But we need to support each other as we go through the process. So first of all, let's support each other in volunteering to teach and being a part of that. Secondly, as parents, one thing that we can do is lend our support. We can assist our children in making sure that they're getting their lessons between Sunday and Wednesday. We can set the right example by getting our own lesson and seeing that these things are prepared. In fact, even better, and I've been guilty of this, you know, go to your room and get your lessons, you know. A better way would be, let's do it together. Let's sit down and talk about that together and study that together. If we choose the route of purchasing curriculum, I will say this, that we're using the Lord's money to do that. And we want to make good use of the Lord's money. We want to fill that material out. We want to use that material. We want to use it in class. We wouldn't want to spend a lot of money and then just not use it. So as parents, we can make sure that our children are getting their lessons and the teachers can make sure that the children are getting their lessons. And that's how we support each other. And we can certainly set the right example ourselves. And I believe every family and every parent would want to do that. But that's a great support group that is needed, so to speak, in the background. Another area of support is just being present and alert and ready to learn God's Word. You know, these little things that I'm about to mention are actually very helpful, and we sometimes forget them. Let's see that each Sunday and each Wednesday, our mind and body is prepared. We wouldn't want to just stay out till the wee hours of the morning on Saturday night and drag in asleep and lethargic and just unprepared. We're just not going to get anything out of a lesson. And just simple things like getting to bed on time and preparing our minds in the class ahead of time and being here on time. Good behavior in class. Discussing our child's lesson with him after the service is over with on the way home. These are just great ways that we can support each other to have the best Bible classes that we can have. Volunteering to teach. Being enthusiastic about our child's learning. I would think that all of us here this morning, turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and we'll close. 2 Chronicles 15. I believe all of us here this morning would like to have the best learning for our children in the public school, if we're choosing that, or homeschooling. We want the best that they can get. We take interest in that as parents. We might talk to the superintendent. We might talk to the principal. We might talk to the teachers. We want them to get the best learning that they can get in secular things. How much more so in those spiritual things that are going to take them all the way to heaven? We need to be just as concerned and enthusiastic and supportive about those things as anything else. And here's why. In an Old Testament story, in the days of King Asa, we find this statement, 2 Chronicles 15, verses 1 through 7. Let's read the text together. 2 Chronicles 15, 1 through 7. and then we'll close. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa and all Judah and Benjamin, and Jehovah is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, for a long season, Israel was without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when in their distress, they turned unto Jehovah, the God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times, there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the lands. They were broken in pieces, and nation against nation, and city against city. For God did vex them with all adversity. But be ye strong, and let not your hands be slack, for your work shall be rewarded. Why was there trouble in Israel? Verse 3, they were without God, and they were without good teaching. And things fell apart. And it will be the same for us. If God is not in our life, and if good teaching is not in our life. But verse 7, he ends on a positive note. Don't be slack. Let's put our energy and our efforts into what we're talking about this evening, and our work will be rewarded. What a great passage. And so when we talk about the things that we're going to talk about this evening with regard to our curriculum, our scheduling, our teachers and our students, let's do a work and put our hands to it with all of our might, and it will be rewarded. And that'll be a great thing. 2 Kings 17 is similar. Why better Bible classes? Well, they make for the better helping of the lost. That's how God brings people to Him. And you know what? When young people are growing up and they need to become a Christian, good Bible classes will help them to do that. And when we have the lost who come who are visitors, and visitors come into our classes, it will help them to be saved. And better Bible classes make for a better defense against the world. God's Word, verses 98 and through 100, they strengthen us, they encourage us. We turn to God's Word for help, and that's how we know that we can cleanse our heart. A young man can cleanse his heart by taking heed to the Word of God. But also, verse 98, Thy commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. He's talking about out in the world. For Thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have kept Thy precepts. There's a lot of terrible things going on in the world. And even in some school settings, especially when we get on up to the college and university levels. And we have to be prepared with God's Word to handle those things, to have a defense against evolution and other kinds of things. And better Bible classes make for just better Christians. Paul said that we save ourselves and those who hear us. And I believe that's what all of us want. I appreciate the elders last week listening to the suggestions that were being presented and the deacons. I appreciate their efforts in wanting to improve and grow. And when Phil and Jeff and Daniel present those things to us this evening, there'll be time for discussion and questions and comments, and it'll be a time for all of us to work toward having the best Bible classes that we can have. So come back this evening, and we look forward to being able to do that. I think you can look back, as I can look back in my life, and see that there were times when there was that godly woman and that godly man who taught us, and who made us in part what we are today. We want that for everyone here and for our children as well. We want them to look back and say, I remember Sister so-and-so. I remember Brother so-and-so and what he taught me. And that's why I want to live right today. We hope that that will be something that we can have here at Warfield Boulevard. And I believe that we can have that. There may be someone here this morning having been taught already the Word of God. You know that you need to become a Christian. The water is ready. The garments are ready. We can change. We can baptize you into Christ. If someone has fallen away, and through your teaching you've learned that you need to be stronger and better, and you want to come and we can pray for you, do that. It's the teaching. Everyone will be taught of God. That's why there's no fun and games, and we don't have entertainment, we don't have a gymnasium to play ball in. That's not how God draws us. It's always the teaching of God's Word. And so we're going to put a premium on that here at Warfield Boulevard. When Clarence and Bob were discussing with me the prospect of coming here, it was always an emphasis on the best teaching and preaching for Warfield Boulevard. And so that's what we want, and that's what we're going to strive for, and let's work together for that. If we can encourage you in some way, if we can help you in some way to respond to the gospel, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?